Our lesson for today takes us back to that first Easter Sunday in the afternoon in the latter part of chapter 20 in the Gospel of John. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, we thank you that Jesus Christ did not stay dead, but through your power was resurrected and brings to us the message of resurrection for this life and the next. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your holy word with joy today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My name is Pastor Abby. I'm one of the pastors here and delighted to be with you today in person as well as online. And I have a question for you. Did you ever notice that Jesus talks way more about earth than about heaven? He does. I mean, this story we read today is still the first Easter Sunday. One imagines that he is more cosmic Christ than earthly Jesus of Nazareth at this point, but he doesn't say a word about heaven. Notice what Jesus is not saying. "You guys, like, OMG, I saw heaven, streets of gold, like, I can't even." No. Also, "I was right and the Pharisees were wrong. How do you like me now?" No, not even, "I'm going to give you one more chance and you better not screw it up this time." Nope, none of that. What is the first thing the resurrected Christ says when he first sees his closest friends? "Peace be with you." He could have chosen all kinds of things to say, but the deepest desire of his heart is that we would know and live in God's peace. It's so important he repeats it, "Peace be with you." And then he commissions them, and we can understand ourselves as being commissioned by extension through them. So he commissions us too, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And what did the Father send him to do? The things that lead to peace, to speak of God's love and forgiveness, to demonstrate God's love and forgiveness by who he talks to, who he eats with, who he heals, to speak and act against the injustice that destroys peace. He came back from the dead, he's on his way to heaven, and he gives us a mission for earth. So on the one hand, that's beautiful and inspiring. And on the other hand, has he seen our earth? It's a tough place. How many of us have lamented someone we love being unable to let go of a wrong? Or maybe we can't forgive ourselves for something we did. But you know, Jesus has seen our earth. He walked it and loved it, and he knows how difficult it is. So he gives us a gift. Just as God breathed into us the breath of life, Christ breathes into us the Holy Spirit. And then he says words that ought to stop us in our tracks every time we read them. "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." We could picture ourselves in the scripture story that in the Garden of Eden, We are standing right next to Adam and Eve, taking what makes us like God and leads to death, the knowledge of good and especially evil. But in that locked room, Jesus offers us, alongside the disciples, what belongs to God and leads to life, the ability to forgive. So in our traditional services here at Strongsville UMC, we often say together a creed or other affirmation of faith that is a part of our public witness during worship, as well as a reminder to us why we're here. And so today, we use the most traditional version of the most traditional creed. In the Apostles' Creed, we read the lines, "He was crucified, died, and buried," and then we included the line, "He descended into hell," before continuing on the third day, he rose again. He descended into hell, or he descended to the dead, is known as the harrowing of hell. It's based largely on oral tradition and this line in the Apostles' Creed, as well as 1 Peter 3:19. For those of you that want to read further, check out the scripture lessons that are showing on the slide right now. The harrowing of hell is controversial among Christians. What happened to Jesus while he died? We're making guesses. And so for the moment, let's assume that Christ descended into hell when he died. I don't know exactly what hell is like, but I do know the Bible is really clear. We don't want to go there. Jesus did, so we don't have to. And upon his return from hell, one of his first instructions is forgive. No dire warnings, no Dante's Inferno descriptions, no, "I saw your brother, and believe you me, you do not want to go where he went." None of that. Christ comes back from hell and tells us, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven. Choosing to hold on to sin is choosing to live in hell. Sin misses the mark because it starts in our separation from God. Now, I can still hear my high school soccer coach asking me, "Where is your non-kicking foot pointed, Abby?" Because in certain soccer kicks, whatever direction the planted foot is pointing is where the ball is going to go. And so even if I want the ball to go over here and my foot is planted this way instead, it is going to go this way instead. And so sometimes my life is like that. If my action doesn't start out planted with God, odds are the results are going to be even further away. If we choose to hold on to the hurt that results, whether we are the trespasser or the trespassed against, we cannot receive the healing and grace that God offers. And thus, the pain increases, and so does our separation from God, and round it goes deeper into hell. Separation from God is hell, whether in this life or the life to come. Jesus offers us heaven in this life and the life to come, when he comes back from hell and tells us, forgive. That's where shalom, God's deep peace for all creation, can be found for us humans. All the good gifts that God gives us, they depend on God's character, not what we do. The problem isn't God's forgiveness. God has already decided to forgive through his work in Jesus Christ. The problem is the human lack of forgiveness. Holding on tightly to anger and hate and justification and bitterness and pain is not the life that Jesus died for us to have. He didn't come back with warnings or an accounting ledger. He came back with the gift, the hope, the offer, the power, the way of peace. Peace, a true peace that loves in spite of differences, the deep peace that forgives in spite of hurts, strong peace that is the presence of justice, peace as wide as God's love for all people. That is God's peace, heaven for earth. So remember, Jesus talked more about earth than heaven. So in the weeks to come, we're going to be building on his words to try to teach a way for us and our church to know peace and to share peace. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, Jesus offers us some step-by-step instructions for dealing with conflict and tension as his followers. While the Bible specifically applies this to the church and how we interact with folks in the church, following the ways Jesus taught will help in all of our relationships in our lives. I mean, is that a surprise that if we do what Jesus teaches, we'll know more peace? It shouldn't be, but sometimes we kind of act like it is. I'm not sure if we do our children any favors when we tell them to say to each other, "I forgive you," if there's no forgiveness in their hearts. I think that I'm a proponent of you should apologize whether you meant it or not as part of the way to peace, but I don't know if we help them when we force them to say, "I forgive you," if they don't. And many of us have heard forgive and forget so many times that there's an equals sign in our minds. Forgive equals forget. But it doesn't work if we don't repair the harm and make a plan to go forward differently. So forgiveness is a process of releasing, repenting, repairing, and only then restoring. Many of us only learn small parts of the process or only one process, one way to go about it. So even if we try hard, sometimes we can't repair our relationships. It is easier said than done, no doubt about that. But it can be done. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Through God's mercy, it can be done. Remember that the Jesus who walked this earth not only gave us instructions, but also gave us the gift that enables us to forgive. He breathed on us. Receive the Holy Spirit. So receive the Holy Spirit. Because as the Father sent Jesus, and so Jesus sends us to bring peace to our homes, our churches, our communities, and through all of that, our whole world. And so today, we will go forth into the world, and in the weeks to come, we will be studying this rule of Christ. And I leave you with some blessings of our Holy Scripture. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And the words that Jesus says again and again, "Peace be with you." Let us pray. God, our hearts long for peace. Our communities, our world cry out for peace. Our social media especially cries for peace. It's easier said than done, but we thank you for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of Jesus' words, for the promise that you will do your work in us. And so help us, God, step by step, to be people who offer and accept forgiveness so that your great love will spread throughout this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.